was 1962. Dropped a quarter and a jukebox, played a song for you. Kissed you by the pinball king. Listen on to Del Shannon sing. And I had all his records. He was my favorite then. Him and Brian Wilson. And that's all gone. It won't come back again. That's all gone. It won't come back again.
That's Ron Hynes with the song 1962, one of his classic songs from the album Get Back Change, which was produced by Paul Mills in 2003. Paul Mills, our special guest in the studio today. Mm. How many albums did you record with Ron?
We did three altogether. I actually met Ron back in the early 70s when I was producing for CBC. Back then we did what were called broadcast recordings, and I did one with Ron. And apparently I was the first producer that he ever worked with in that context. So many years later, when we met up again, he asked if I'd be willing to work with him on this album. And it took me a nanosecond to decide, and we ended up doing this album together. And we had a great time. It was interesting. He came to my studio in Toronto. He's living in Newfoundland, of course. Came to my studio, and we did pre-production work and all of that. And then we did... We did his tracks, guitar and vocal, and then we brought in drums and bass. And then there was, of course, many more things to go on. We were going to be adding some keyboards and steel and fiddle and all this stuff. And Ron said to me, after the drum and bass session, he turned to me and says, "Well, see, I'm heading home." I said, "What?" He says, "Yeah, I'm heading home." I said, "You don't want me around during overdubs." "Well, you always work with artists, Ron. You know what? You're here." Nope, "I'm going home. See you." And he walks out. Well, so I go on and I continue with the overdub sessions, and really nervous because, you know, I always like to have the artist there saying, "Oh, it sounds good," or "How can we, you know, change," have that input. So anyway, I finished it all up, did rough mixes, sent them off to Ron, and then the phone rang one day and I was waiting for the worst, you know. "Hi, Paul, it's Ron." "Hi, Ron. So what do you think?" He says, "I love it all." I said, "Great." I said, "You even like the ukulele track?" He says, "What bloody ukulele track?" I snuck in a ukulele on a song called "Good Dog Is Lost."
Oh, right. Fabulous song.
Yeah. And ironically, it's the song, it's the title song from a fabulous tribute album to Ron Hynes done by Ken Tizard. You had Ken on your show recently.
Yeah, yeah. I love that album, but I mean, and Ken's version is great.
Yeah.
But Ron's is still something else. I mean, every time I listen to that song, I mean, it's like, I don't know, I get goosebumps on my goosebumps. Yeah. There's something about the way Ron sings anyway, because he has that almost like a, it's like a tremolo thing going on. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. Great singer.
Yeah, absolutely fabulous.
So it was great to work with him. But he was, at the time, I didn't know this, but at the time he was very heavily into drugs. He was... a crack cocaine addict. And he was very high functioning. You wouldn't know that he was a druggie. And I think that was the reason he didn't want to be around during the overdubs, because he thought that he would just end up being a nuisance. And he probably would have been. You know, he later went through rehab and got clean. And we did our second album together, which was just called Ron Hynes. And he did that without being on drugs. And yeah. It was very sad when he left us.
Well, since you bring up the subject of A Good Dog Is Lost, why don't we play that just now? But tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, it was written after his little daughter, I think she was 5 years old at the time, came home. And their neighbor's dog had run away. So she went up to him, Ron, and said, "Daddy, a good dog is lost." And he said, "There's a song." And so he ended up writing the song. And in the album liner notes, he gives credit to his daughter. But it was based on the true story, because they actually did do signs with crayons and posted them all around the neighborhood and put them on people's windshields and all this stuff. And the sign said, "A good dog is lost."
It is a fabulous song. Goosebumps on top of you, goosebumps. This is Ron Hynes with A Good Dog Is Lost. from the album Get Back Change. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Good dog is lost. Set a sign above the counter at the corner store with an address and a phone to call. Still and all it said, just a little bit more it said, hey there stranger, well I can hardly believe someone that I love that much has run away from me. And if the finder could only return to me at any cost, for a good dog is lost somewhere out there tonight upon a darkened street, running breathless with a wild beating heart in all directions on four tiny feet, calling hey there stranger, well I can hardly believe someone that I love that much has forgotten about me. Look at all these people tucked away in their houses, and they're watching reruns of Who's the Boss. Well, a good dog is lost, and a tired clerk at the counter says, every day in tiny ways we disappear. On a night like this, it's better him than me out there. But a good dog is lost. Set a flyer beneath the windshield wiper of my car, so I stashed it in my groceries. Caught this expression in my rearview mirror. It said, hey there stranger, well I can hardly believe that a picture of a puppy drawn with a crayon get to a guy like me. Guess I just go out and drive around. I know I'll never sleep. Well, I'll just turn and toss. For a good dog is lost. Good dog is dog is
25 years or more. I've never slept alone, and the space beside me now doesn't feel like it should.
Hi, my name's Irish Maiden, and I've got to tell you, I'm digging all this folk roots and blues.
That's Irish Maiden with the song 55 Years from her 2007 album Sweet Necessity. That was an album produced by Paul Mills, our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. That was her first album, or her first full-length album,
First full-length album. It's interesting how we ended up working together. I did an album with a fellow from the East Coast named Jim Hanlon, songwriter from Canso. He worked in a fish processing plant in the Maritimes until that industry went belly up. So he moved to Bahrain, and he's still there, actually. He works in the fish plant industry there. And he met Irish over there. Irish was living at home with her parents, who were also working in the fish industry in Bahrain, all originally from Ireland. And he got to know Irish a little bit, and he contacted me one day and said, there's this young woman here who's an amazing singer, and would you be willing to work with her? And so I listened to some demos, and I said, sure. So her parents financed it. She flew over to Canada and came to my studio, and we did a demo. I think it was a 4 or 5 song recording, which she put out. She was playing the Stan Rogers Folk Festival that summer, and I encouraged her to put this out and sell it at the festival. Well, she made 50 copies, and they were sold within 10 minutes of her first appearance. Anyway, a year later, we decided that it's time to do a full-length album, and so she came back to the studio, and this album was the result.
Was she planning to live in Canada at that time? Because I know she's lived all over the world because of, you know, her parents. I think her father was based in a lot of different places over time.
I can't remember exactly when she moved to Canada, but it was around that time that she decided. And she met someone. I don't think it's her current partner, but anyway, this person lived in New Brunswick.
A truly remarkable performer. And we were talking during the song with the fact that she's been a big hit in London, Ontario, at Home County. And you're actually pretty involved at the festival, the Home County Folk Festival.
Yeah, I'm chair of the board for the Home County Folk League, as the organization is called. And it's keeping me pretty busy. But I love it. I love what we do. The festival is magical. I love the Home County Festival every summer. And we've started to do more things year-round as well. We're doing concerts and workshops year-round.
And London has such a great music scene. I mean, it really does.
It does. There's always something, particularly in our kind of music, there's a lot going on in London. The Aeolian Hall, we were just there seeing the Ennis Sisters a couple of days ago. Bev and I go there a lot. There's the Cuckoo's Nest Folk Club at Chaucer's once or twice a month. There's always somebody there that we like to see. And, yeah, it's a great town.
And, of course, they have the Junos coming
up in
2019.
That's right. It's going to be pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, it, in some ways, I think London is a city that doesn't always get its due as far as its music scene is concerned. One of the things I've been really impressed about is the fact that they have a music office that I think is supported by the city, which
it
I
is.
Find is really... I mean, I assume Toronto has one. I actually don't know that, but I've been impressed with the way that London has an office that supports music generally. They go to the folk conference and they'll put on showcasing for
There was
artists.
At the Folk Music Ontario conference just recently. You were there. They had a showcase room.
Yeah, that was actually the second year they'd done that, which was fabulous.
Yeah. We applaud them.
Yeah. We're going to head back to the music with Shelley Posen.
Mm.
An interesting album, Songs from a Jewish Life, Menorah.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about producing this one.
Well, your listeners may be familiar with Shelley through his work with The Finest Kind, which was a vocal trio, wonderful group. But I've known Shelley since university days, and he's a magical singer and songwriter. He's a very, very clever guy, and he's a Jewish guy, and he decided to do an album all about the Jewish culture. And so he wrote all these songs. Some of them are hilariously funny. Others are heart-moving, but all from a Jewish perspective. And it was a lot of fun to work on this album. He actually asked me to work with him because he knew that I had produced a lot of different kinds of music, aside from just pure folk, that I had some experience with jazz and with arranging for strings and things of that nature. And he wanted that kind of variety on the album. So we ended up doing two Jewish albums together. This was the first one. And then there was another one a couple of years later. But this particular song is a lot of fun because it's, in the liner notes, he says it was born of the curious bit of knowledge that Jewish people seem to love Chinese food. And there's a certain Jewish ceremony which requires a kind of a quorum. There have to be at least 10 Jewish men at this ceremony for it to be validated. They're called a minyan, you know. And if they're a man or two short of a minyan, then the rabbi goes to the nearest Chinese restaurant where he'll be sure and find some more Jewish guys to bring in. So that's basically what the song's about.
And this song is called Dim Sum, which is pretty fun. Shelley Posen with Dim Sum from the album Menorah, Songs from a Jewish Life. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio with Paul Mills, and I'm Jan Hall.
I was in a Chinese restaurant on a wintry afternoon. The dim sum girls were going around, calling out the dim sum tune. I was just about to choose a dish and pour myself some tea, when a hussar came in, looked around, and he walked right up to me. He said, "I know you're Jewish, I see the kugel in your face, and I know you're wondering what a Jew like me is doing in this place. Well, I'm not here to give you grief about what you do or how. I've just come to give you a chance to perform a little mitzvah now. And I don't care what kind of Jew you are, the kind of Jew you are is fine with me. If your mom was Jewish, then you're up to par. You're as echt as I need you to be. You may eat treif and chazarai, but that doesn't mean you don't qualify. A Jew's a Jew, no one can deny. You get a Torah-clad warranty." Small base midrash down the street where we're reading the Gemara through.
And when time for mincha rolls around, we're often short a man or two. To complete our minion, I always go where there'll be Jews to spare. That's any good Chinese restaurant, I know I'll find a Lanzmann there. And I don't care what kind of Jew you are, the kind of Jew you are is fine with me. And now's your chance to be a Jewish star, 'cause if a minion is a lock, then you are a key. And I don't care on what you feed or the kind of Jewish life you lead, I'm a Jew in need of a Jew indeed, and you will suit me to a T. Now a mitzvah is a mission that a Jew cannot refuse, and you're not a mensch if you stand by and don't help your fellow Jews. So I got up, put on my coat without delay or fuss, when some guys at a nearby table said, if you're going to dove and wait for us. And I don't care what kind of Jew you are, the kind of Jew you are is fine with me. Even if you haven't had a bar, you're a leaf on the family tree. You may only go to shul on Yom Kippur or lead the life of a goy gamur, but with Jews there's no such thing as pure. So buddy, you're the Jew for. You may not think it's very cool, but the genes in your particular pool are saying, would it be so bad if you went to shul? And buddy, that's a Jew too. Shmulek, that's a Jew too. Yingle, that's a Jew to me.
Karen Morand, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio with my friend, Jan Hall.
That's Laura Smith with the song I Built a Boat from her 2013 album, Everything is Moving, another album produced by Paul Mills, who's our special guest in the studio at Folk Roots Radio today.
Didn't that Laura Smith song just melt your heart?
Absolutely beautiful. Oh. Absolutely beautiful. And that was her kind of comeback album, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was out of commission for about 16 years. She had a very bad accident falling off a horse. When she was ready to record again, I was so pleased that she came to me and we ended up doing this album together. It's one of my favorite albums. She's an amazing singer and songwriter. And what I like to say about Laura Smith is that when she delivers a song, she leaves nothing behind. It's all there, you know.
It's interesting to say that because, you know, we were talking during one of the songs about the, you know, the fact that you have decided that, you know, the time is right to maybe step away from mm-hmm. active production. You know, if you decide to make another album, maybe you'll get involved in producing that. But I think a lot of the, you know, you kind of touched on this when you were talking about Laura Smith, but it's the fact that, you know, there are great people out there who make beautiful music, fabulous songwriters. It must be wonderful to be asked to produce those people.
It is. It's an honor.
Yeah.
And I'm humbled by it, you know, and I admired Laura for years as a singer and a songwriter. I actually knew her back in the early 70s when I was in London and Smale's Pace Coffee House was going strong. She was a waitress and a cook at the coffee house. We knew her as Susie Smith back then. But so we kind of got to know each other back then a little bit. And so coming together to make this album in 2012, 13,